Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
We're going to be talking to you today, hopefully cover these areas. Got something that Mark Twain said. He says, this is what he says, he got these all these wars going. He says, wars happening so that Americans can learn geography. You think about it. I mean, can you actually draw Iraq and all the cities in Iraq?
No.
People say, we think about, you know, different, you think about India and you think about Pakistan, but did you know that Pakistan was part of India until there was a war that went on? They finally just said, listen, they gave Pakistan to the Muslims. They just said, we'll give you your own nation up here. And that's how Pakistan became.
Wow.
You know, I mean,
didn't know that.
Yeah, you see a Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iran, Iraq, you know, and it's just like, it's all together. It's just one.
Wow.
It's not some, in people's mind, we kind of see it out like this, but really that's all together in that particular area. And so Mark Twain says, wars happen so that Americans can learn geography. And you do pay more attention when you're fixing to be launched to war. It's like,
right.
I'm going to war where?
Where's exactly?
Where is this ship going? Where is my plane going?
Sure my
I would like to know where do the, can you send emails from there?
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk a little bit about what Susan Massey has made a statement that she was, Suzanne Massey was the, I believe, the etiquette or whatever person for President Ronald Reagan. She was one of his advisors, and she talks about Russia, that we're not mentioning the good things about Russia, and I was pretty impressed talking about the significance of a godless nation, what it's turned to in 20 years. Also, T.D. Jakes.
Yes, T.D. Jakes has a new book out called Instinct, The Power to Unleash Your Inborn Drive. It's doing really good, but also CBN did an interview with him, I believe it was John Jessup, who did the interview, and he had some really interesting statements to say regarding race and religion, and hopefully we'll get a chance to share that with you today, but really interesting.
That really is. Yeah, the over in, I believe it was American University in Washington, D.C., I think it's called American University, they had a panel on their discussion Russia, and you know, 20 years ago, it was a godless nation.
Mm.
And they went through such turmoil that took place when their economy crashed and all this. But it was pretty interesting. One of the advisors for President Ronald Reagan was on this particular panel as they were talking about Russia. And she said this. Her name is Suzanne Massey. She's the author of Trust But Verify.
Mm. Did she borrow that from somebody?
Well, actually, she's the one that told President Reagan about
it. Okay.
But she only told him about it because actually it's a Russian phraseology.
Oh, really? Huh.
Yeah, and so that's why he used what their language was.
Brilliant.
And but that's her book. But as she said, which is pretty, I mean, this, if you think how it was a godless nation, this is what she said, though. She said this weekend, she says, Russia now has the highest, this is what she said. She said, only thing that people talk about and the press reports on is just negative things, the bad things about Russia. They don't talk about anything. I mean, do you hear anything at all, you know, good happening? And she says about God, she says, Russia now has the highest amount of believers, God-believing people in all of Europe.
Wow.
And in 20 years, they went from a godless nation to now the most God-believing nation or country in Europe. She said, and she said, they're even teaching about God in the schools.
Wow.
I mean, you would think it's like the way that it's being reported is like, it's like the press covers anything but God, unless it's something negative, you know, unless it's one of our mistakes and all. But understand, it's like, that's huge. It kind of makes you say, maybe America's about to turn because it came with economic crisis.
Wow.
It took a godless nation down. And when it rebooted, then when the walls came down, Gorbachev, take down these walls, the kingdom came in. All of a sudden, the gospel began to be preached. And I know that you were talking about Bob Weiner and TBN and, you know, Gary Hinckley's gone in there several times and others have gone in. Just They're just hungry for the Lord. And prior to that, it was a lot. It was a whole different scene that was going on. And so when we're seeing all these things take place, and we know that as an example in America, just because your leaders think a certain way or turn a certain way doesn't mean the entire nation turns a certain way or the church feels that way. That it means that we got to look a little bit deeper. And that's why we at VFN TV, the Daily Radio Program, we are actually reporting this other aspect of what's taking place in Russia, that the church is rising up. People are becoming believers and Christians are getting united. They're seeking things such as, I know that Brother Ken Summerall, who's now with the Lord, a spiritual father of mine, that he had some seeking him out and say, listen, you know, I want a spiritual father in my life. I want a gray-haired man in my life. And what happens when you become one, you get gray hair.
I know, that's right.
But the it's just amazing what's happening in Russia, even in the midst of all this craziness and things that are going on, that the church is rising up and getting strong in Russia.
Isn't it interesting how the tendency is to judge a nation by the leader, but not necessarily by what God's doing or the kingdom there?
Right.
The same thing. You're almost like, wow, we need to look deeper into what's happening.
Right.
And they need to look at us a little bit closer too. You know?
Yes. Yes. That's very helpful. And you think about it. You think about that. This is great encouragement, because think about it, being a godless nation before the wall came down. And when the wall came down, yes, everything came in, and you know, probably capitalism may have been the thing that may have really went the wrong way with some of the things in there. The big concern they had is about French fries and McDonald's or something when they first started, you know, that started happening there. But in the midst of all that, people came to know God. And if we quit trying to save countries and start trying to save people, countries will be saved.
Wow.
If we'll preach the gospel to the individual and not to the nation, then to the political realm,
right,
then, you know, the people will get saved and they'll be the future leaders of your nation. And that's how you change a nation, is when the church begins to rise up. And he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal Russia. I mean, think about it. It'll heal the land. And so you just never know. And so often we are guilty of looking and evaluating the condition of the church based on the condition of society, or, you know, the political realm, or a nation. And the truth is, you know, kingdoms are going to come and kingdoms are going to go, but God's kingdom is forever. It doesn't change. And it could be thriving in the midst of great oppression like it is in China.
Yeah.
With the greatest amount of believers in any other nation, I believe, is in China now, the largest part of the church. And so we cannot judge the church in China by its leaders, because it has nothing to do with those two things. And we're finding out, according to Suzanne Massey, that, I mean, think about it. In 20 years, she says that Russia now has the highest amongst all European countries of people who believe in God. I mean, whoever thought that Russia would be the very one, especially some behaviors their leaders are doing now, you're thinking like, man, that's just terrible. And it's like, wait a minute, there's leaders coming up that are supposedly Christians in Ukraine.
Yeah.
There's Christians coming up in Russia. No, tell them what the future is going to be. But I know if the church doesn't wake up in America and begin to respond and turn from our wicked ways, that, you know, we may miss out on this next season.
Yeah.
What's going to take place in the earth, because we shared earlier on our programs, that the whole God's shifting the epicenter of Christianity to Asia. And that was confirmed several different ways. You can find out more about that. Maybe there's a related article to this particular segment. But that means, man, we wouldn't want to miss what God's doing.
Mm-mm.
God loves all 7+ billion people on the face of the earth, and we want to be a part of that. We're going to talk more when we get back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
If you haven't yet gone to the front of VFNTV.com, and there's a big link right there in the middle that says Visit Our Sponsors, I want you to go there and just... You see them, you go there, click on Visit Our Sponsors, and you'll see them, and they just continue coming in. We just thank God for our sponsors and our partners.
And our partners are those who partner with us prayerfully and financially every single month, giving a financial gift. And our sponsors and underwriters are those businesses and ministries who stand up and say, listen, we too want to stand up for God and country in that order and for Israel. And you can see them all. And it's there for a reason. It's there so you can know, you know what? If I need a particular product or a particular service, and I want to stand with those who are standing up for country, God and country, and Israel, I'm going to go to VFNTV.com, and I'm going to see, is there a sponsor there right now? And if you provide a business or a service, and you're not up, you need to do it. You need to say, hey, I want to be one of the ones that people come to. I want them to know, when you buy our service, when you buy our product, you are saying, I stand with VFNTV and the daily radio program because I truly want to be able to keep the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, which is a command from God for us. And the hope for America is the light of God's word, the light of truth. And we're standing together. So you can go to VFNTV.com, click on Visit Our Sponsors, and you can see firsthand, not only that, but maps on how to get to them and so much other. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to our partners. And God bless.
Jesus said, you know them by their fruit. That's the only way we can really tell who we really are. And then he even tells us, apart from abiding in him, we can't even bear that fruit. Listen to Francis Chan, the author of Crazy Love and leader of and founder of Multiply Movement, share this exact thing. We are known by our fruit.
You know, the fruit will show. You know, if the tree's for real, it's going to bear fruit.
Yeah.
You'll see the action, but we want to make those statements, and we're not following up, and we're deceiving ourselves. I was thinking about this the other day, you know, how James talks about how we can be hearers of the word, but not doers. And so we're deceiving ourselves because we're listening and listening and amen, 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 but we're not doing it. Mm. And you know, Satan is the father of lies. He loves deception. Mm. He loves to deceive people, but I think in a lot of ways, he's very happy with what he sees in a lot of gatherings because they're like, I don't even need to work there. Mm. They're deceiving themselves. Mm-hmm. They're going there, you know, hearing a message, amening it and not doing it. They're deceiving themselves. Mm. I think Satan's actually very pleased. I want to be careful with it. I mean, based on what I see in Scripture, I think there are times when he's pleased that the Word of God is preached and not obeyed, and that deception is going on, because that's his MO. That's what he loves to do. He loves to deceive. And so if there's a bunch of people thinking they're following God because they're going, oh yeah, I heard it. Oh, I heard a really tough message by David Platt the other day. You know, I heard this. I got so convicted. I walked away. I even walked away sad. Me and my friends, we even cried. You know, it's just like this. Wow, yes, yeah. We did it. And I really think the enemy is going, oh, this is great. Hmm. This is great. They're not. When Jesus was about repent, like, let me see you turn. John the Baptist, repent. Let me see you turn. Peter, repent. You know, it's turn, 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 and we're all about feel bad, make a grand statement. And I think Satan's actually pleased with that.
You're listening to Francis Chan, author of Crazy Love and Multiply Movement. You can find it at multiplymovement.com. Listen, you need to be fruitful. We are known by our fruit. It's going to be a fruit inspection time at the throne room of God, because it's not that we're not earning our salvation. The very fact that we are saved, we are fruitful. Listen, if you want to be fruitful today, begin to make this Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. If you haven't yet done that, go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. We shared a couple of our stories and how to do that. Then begin to abide with him and be his disciple. And we have a plan for you, a simple plan for you. Right now, free, just go and request it at iabide.org, iabide.org. Eternity weighs in the balance, your eternity.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We were just speaking about, you know, having not wanting to miss what God's doing in the world. And the truth is we became very self-focused as Americans and even American Christians. I mean, think about it. If other nations became as blessed as America is, and America went down to a third world nation, how many missionaries would all of a sudden there would be going like, you know, I want to go to that capital nation that's got, right, you know, great living, you know, but it's difficult. You know, this is what Jesus said. I mean, he said it. He just said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter in the kingdom of God. Mm. And the disciples' response was, well, then who can go? She said, and this is how significant it is. He goes, well, what's impossible with man is possible with God. And you have to really be very careful when you're blessed that you don't all of a sudden make the blessing your God. Mm. And the rich young ruler, think about the rich young ruler. He would, you know, he thought he was right. He thought he was right because he said, what do I got to do to be saved? And Jesus began to explain, you know, don't, you know, commit adultery and these different things. And he goes, I've done this since all of my life, you know. Mm-hmm. There you can see it, right?
All 13 years old.
Yeah. Was he 13?
I'm just joking.
I thought he was older than that. Anyway, so he, yeah, right, though. And so Jesus says, oh, yeah, one more thing. If you're going to go through the eye of the needle, you know, if you're going to enter the kingdom of God, for him, he had to give everything he had to the poor. Because that was his God. It's not that you have to give everything, but maybe so. I mean, think about it. But to him, that was his God. Because you found out he chose that God, the God of money and wealth, over God, over Jesus. He chose that. Mm. And he says he walked away sad because he had many things. Mm. And you think about Francis Chan. I mean, it challenges you in living small and living flexible. Mm-hmm. And they move, just willing to move into, to do anything, to do whatever God said. It's just beautiful,
yeah,
to be able to see that. And I think, you know, one thing you said on the break, John, is important for us to you talk about global citizens now, and you're starting, it's like people say, you're talking more and more economy. Well, it's kind of obvious when you can email to China in 5 seconds, mm-hmm, and you can buy your products at great discounts from, you know, India. And I mean, you're not going to be able to stop that happening. The question is that going to be your God? Mm-hmm. And that's a, you know, global citizen is that you start thinking about, well, what we're doing here, we cannot enslave an entire nation to feed our nation low income, low priced products. We start, mm-hmm, thinking about, you know, the reason why this company has such low prices is because this other country, for example, in India, is paying, you know, dollars. Where we pay thousands of dollars, right, they pay dollars for. And that's why you get it at a lower price. So as a global citizen, you start, some people take advantage of that by doing that. But you were talking about being global Christians, right?
That's right. The perspective is, we put all the emphasis on exactly what you just been saying, when in reality, we need to put our focus as a global Christian so that we're just not focusing on what's happening in our own country or in the kingdom of God as we're experiencing it in our nation, but to look at the kingdom of God across the globe and relate that that person's not just a Chinese citizen of China, mm-hmm, but hopefully that's my brother and sister who just happens to be Chinese. Or if they're not in the Lord, they haven't received salvation, we're looking at them not as an enemy or a competitor because of the trade market, but we're looking at them as people that we want to be able to reach with the love of God. And it just changes our whole paradigm. When, mm-hmm, you start mixing politics and start looking geography and,
right,
casting judgment over a nation because of its leaders,
right,
you're looking at the wrong perspective. We have, as Christians, as believers, we have to look at all the people in the world and say, man, forget this global citizen stuff. I mean, it happens, sure, but we need to be global Christians. How can we reach the nations of the world?
E pluribus unum, right?
Yeah.
E pluribus unum. And so you think about that, and I was just thinking about some cookies that Donna had purchased at a low price, right? And I was thinking, there's no way that this particular, I'm not going to talk about the chain that had these particular cookies. I said, there's something not right. And so I looked on, you know, where it came from. Mm-hmm. And it says, this is how things are seem to be masked. It says, you know, it's distributed by a company out of Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And so, but you can call this number if you have any information. So you call the number, and that was not a Tennessean on the phone.
Oh, wow.
And they goes, that's a very good question. And, you know, and it's like, you know, where did those cookies come from? Where does this product come from, and why is it so cheap? And we have to ask questions like that. Are we okay? Yeah, we want, because, you know, we have a horrific history in America where we enslaved part of our people for a long period of time. And we see how bad that is. But I see people who say it's bad, and it maybe even their in their genealogy, they had members of their family that were enslaved. At the same time, go down and get this great priced item from a local store, not realizing a slave made that item in another nation that got paid $2 a week to be able to make that. And it's like, we got a, you know, a global Christian is where we start thinking like, well, slavery's not only bad in our nation, slavery's bad in every nation.
That's right.
If I got to live with the same shirt for a whole week, you know what I'm saying? If I got to keep my clothes longer to make sure that other people are not enslaved. I mean, how many people are being enslaved right now because people want that best price? Mm. And that's why the markets are turning to Asia, because Asia has people that are putting together. This is some reports. People that were putting together the iPhone or building parts of the iPhone, where some of them were jumped off the roof. One of them was reported jumped off the roof of the building to commit suicide, reports are.
Wow.
Because of the oppressive nature of what's going on. And, I'm not saying I don't have the facts on that, so I just know what is allegedly being said. But also, there has been where they've taken American businessmen and basically locked them in the building over there and wouldn't let them out because of the way they were treating the workers. And it's just like, it's not everything costs. Mm-hmm. You know, everything costs. Somebody said this. It said, you know, when the economy crashes and when these different things happen, that money doesn't disappear. It just shifts. And the thing is, you have to position yourself to where it's going to shift. Well, if you're still wearing shirts and pants and clothes and all this kind of stuff, it's still being made. There's somebody in the process of making this thing. So the labor shifted. And if the labor shifts and the price goes down, it means now the laborer is getting paid less money for the thing. So the reason why you got such a good deal is because potentially somebody that is under oppression in the workplace in some other nation made that.
Yeah. It's even happening in this nation. You look at some of the way that some folks have been brought over to this country to work and some of the housing conditions. You know, you wouldn't put an animal in some of those housing conditions. Oh. People stack 3 and 4 stories in a bed, very narrow, and just being fed. And we got to look at all these type of things, you know, who's building the homes and what type of labor was involved in it, who are you hiring, and all those different things, because at the end of the day, can we sleep comfortably knowing that we're living in a home that was built by somebody who's just being taken advantage of?
And if you don't live as a global Christian, I really believe you're going to miss out on what God's doing, because it's a worldwide thing God's doing. And one aspect of being a global Christian is thinking about Israel. You're thinking about what is God's perspective of Israel and what's happening, and staying tuned maybe to VFN TV and Daily Radio Program to stay up on what's going on and go into the VFN Torch. By the way, if you haven't gone to the VFN Torch lately, you need to go to VFNTV.com. And in the menu, it says VFN Torch. There's all types of aspects to be able to just quick information at a moment's notice. Any topic that you can imagine probably is in there. And a biblical perspective, you know, what's actually happening. But what does the Word of God say about this? Including prophetic words of knowledge and wisdom that has been shared. So if you get a chance, go to VFNTV.com and click on the VFN Torch in the menu there. Now, we've been talking about, you know, what is the perspective of, you know, the church. And the church is multicultural, multi-ethnos. These are all beautiful parts of us. And Jesus wants us all to become one. Mm-hmm. And I know that just recently with an interview for T.D. Jakes?
Yes, T.D. Jakes was interviewed by us, by CBN, by John Jessup. And in this interview, basically started out about his book, which is, he has a new book called Instinct, The Power to Unleash Your Inborn Drive. And one of the things that John Jessup interviews him about, he asks him, hey, you know, in regards to how Dr. King said almost 50 years ago, this is the most, the church hour is the most divided hours. That's not the exact quote, but the most divided.
I think did Dr. King say that? No, he wouldn't.
Well, his tribute was saying that.
Yeah, he did. I thought that was pretty interesting.
It was a tribute that was saying that.
The most segregated hour in America is 11 o'clock on Sunday mornings.
Right. And so he asked T.D. Jakes about his thoughts regarding that. Very interesting what T.D. Jakes has to say in regards to race and religion. Watch this.
Sunday mornings have been described as the most segregated hour in America. Over the years as a pastor, have you noticed or do you feel as if things have improved racially in this country? And secondly, you pastor a multicultural church, the Potter's House in Dallas, Texas. How did you use your instinct, intellect, and intuition to foster that?
You know, I still think we have a long ways to go to be the total reflection of what the kingdom ought to look like. I think it is reprehensible that Dr. King said that so many years ago, and that we can still point at so many sanctuaries and congregations who do not reflect the diversity that is described for heaven. But then when you get ready to untangle that, I think it is an oversimplistic view to say that it is all racism. Hmm. I don't think that it's all racism. I think it is a culture. I think that it is comfort. People draw comfort when they look up front and see somebody who looks like you. I think it is a distinction between the general populace has never had to fit in. As a minority, I have had to fit in. I have had to wear the tie that you said was appropriate and listen at the music in the elevator that you like and clap to the beat you had. I had to assimilate. But the general populace has never been a minority and had to assimilate into another audience, and I think sometimes there is no model through which that is achieved. We have some work to do in that regard, and we have some demons to face, because while that is the problem and those considerations are important, there is still a silent, subtle racism that is eating at the underbelly, even in the church, that needs to be addressed. And it is not addressed enough because it is not preached enough, and it is not preached enough because it is not on the radar of all of those who have the mic.
Well, when you stand in front of your congregation and you see people from different backgrounds and walks of life, what is it that you try to do, considering all these different factors at play? How do you try to create an environment where everyone feels welcome?
Great question. First of all, I try to learn what makes you comfortable. Food, family, what makes you laugh, who are you? I take the time to dignify you with attention. Second of all, I am honestly fascinated by other people's culture. It's hard to be publicly what you are not privately. So you can't put up Asian people and Korean people and black people as props. Like, see, and then I go home and you have none in your life. So if until you wash cars with me or we go to the football game together, it's hard to manufacture on stage something that is not a reflection of the totality of who you are. I'm a broad-based person. I love all kinds of people. I grew up in West Virginia where there's 5% black, and I'm used to being involved with all types, whites and blacks and whoever came along my path. And I'm fascinated by Spanish-speaking people and Asian people and people of all descents. What do you like? What's it like to be you? If we become students of one another and then be able to have honest conversations about race and expectations and biases. If we could ever talk, if we could just talk to each other without the gloves on, and Christians are the world's worst for always saying the right things we're supposed to, like God is colorblind. Duh. Yeah, I know you mean well by that, but why would God be colorblind and make lilies and lilacs, all these different colors and people? He doesn't have to go blind to love me. He loves me black. He loves you brown. He loves them white. God doesn't have to go blind to love me. Those sorts of things are things where we need to talk a little bit so that I can help you have a language that incorporates a better reflection of the love of God.
Wow, awesome. I love what he says. God doesn't have to be colorblind. Why? Because he created all the colors. He appreciates all of us, and we need to find a way that we can appreciate each other as well.
Right. Very, very good word.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them at VFNTV.com. Visit our sponsors today. We have all their contact information, their phone numbers, their web addresses. They're ready to hear from you. Visit our sponsors and partners at VFNTV.com. Become a partner today. It's you partnering with us, giving and sowing financially, that makes this all possible. VFNTV.com.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We are so excited, by the way, to welcome our Gulf Coast audience in our new time slot now, Monday through Friday, 5:30 p.m. to be there as soon as you get home from work. We want to give you a perspective of all the things that you heard throughout the day. And, you know, it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. And we want to be able to you know, God, what does this mean? You know, and hearing from many in the body of Christ, and just hearing ourselves from the Lord, and spending time abiding with the Lord and praying over it, you know, trying to make sense out of what, you know, if you were to think about it, doesn't make any sense at all.
If you haven't yet gone to the front of VFNTV.com, and there's a big link right there in the middle that says visit our sponsors. I want you to go there and just, you see them, you go there, click on visit our sponsors, and you'll see them, and they just continue coming in. We just thank God for our sponsors and our partners. And our partners are those who partner with us prayerfully and financially every single month, giving a financial gift. And our sponsors and underwriters are those businesses and ministries who stand up and say, listen, we too want to stand up for God and country in that order, and for Israel. And you can see them all. And it's there for a reason. It's there so you can know, you know what? If I need a particular product or a particular service, and I want to stand with those who are standing up for country, God and country, and Israel, I'm going to go to VFNTV.com, and I'm going to see, is there a sponsor there right now? And if you provide a business or a service and you're not up, you need to do it. You need to say, hey, I want to be one of the ones that people come to. I want them to know when you buy our service, when you buy our product, you are saying, I stand with VFNTV and the daily radio program because I truly want to be able to keep the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, which is a command from God for us. And the hope for America is the light of God's word, the light of truth. And we're standing together. So you can go to VFNTV.com, click on visit our sponsors, and you can see firsthand, not only that, but maps on how to get to them and so much other. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to our partners. And God bless.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
We are going to be talking about this tragedy that just took place at UCSB, this college campus, of this 22-year-old man, I believe, Elliot Rogers, that went on a massacre. He went on his whole... It was amazing when you think, you know, how much evil could be in such a young person, and how he specifically said he vented his... I mean, he was very public about his whole journey. Nobody paid attention as usual. Mm-hmm. And one of the things he said when he's writing out his manifesto, I guess, was that he detailed that he took out his anger, his violent anger, with violent video games. And how many times are we hearing that?
Wow.
How many times are we hearing that? That, you know, if you role play murder, if you role play murder, it's in you. If you think about murder, if you role play it, if you virtually murder someone over and over again, murder's in you. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, you know, people say it's not. Yes, it is. I mean, think about it. If you, and you know, a particular person would say, no, it's not. Okay, let's just imagine this. Hmm. Okay, you're telling your wife that that's not murder, right? Okay, let's imagine now your wife's going to play visual things with men, and she's not really cheating with the men, but she's virtually, you know, right, in that whatever zone. Uh-huh. And But she's not actually doing it. You're going to be totally offended because the truth is that, you know, she's cheating on you in her heart. Mm-hmm. It's really happening in the context of that. Well, if your children are, you're buying them games to role play murder, I mean, you're just feeding into that carnal nature. Mm-hmm. And there's a difference between a self-defense type, you know, hunting type game versus just all outright Grand Theft Auto.
Right,
which is a crime.
Which the DC shooter was doing a 16-hour marathon.
Yes,
game.
They would bring him food, yeah. And he ended up walking through the Navy base offices in Washington D.C. and just walking with a shotgun and shooting the same, I guess you would, in that video game. I've never played the game, but I've seen clips from it. And this young man, he was allegedly done this. His name is Elliot Rogers. The reports are that it's an alleged thing at this point, but he's dead, and the witnesses saw him do it. He just had this mindset that he thought he was owed something. And we can say this because he actually shot a video of himself talking, and in there he's just saying that I deserve this. I deserve this. I deserve that. And I really see a lot of this. I see a lot of this in the nation, and people literally are angry and they fight you because they don't get what they want. And it's like, nobody's owed anything. You know, we all have to work and we all have to live our life, and the cards fall how they are. And this is your job. That's your lot in life. You know, as Solomon says, this is what you do. And nobody, you know, this idolatrous, I deserve something. And this is horrific. He went and killed, you know, seven, one of them being himself, and over 13 wounded. He first lured some people reportedly into his apartment and killed, I think, three people, stabbed them to death there. And he had this whole thing planned out. And he wrote about it, and he posted it out. And then he went to a sorority house because he had this mindset that these girls, you know, these women, should have paid him homage. They should have made him basically said, I want one. Yeah. So obviously he had no value of human beings. They're not a one to want. It's a person, but he was just focused on, you know,
he deserved it. He said deserved it. You should have been with me. And because you didn't choose me, I'm going to hurt you.
Right.
I'm going to kill you.
I'm going to kill you is what he said. And, you think about it, how many people, They don't go that far, but they say, I'm going to make your life miserable. I mean, how many parents are dealing with children who are making their lives miserable because they won't give them what they want? I mean, how many spouses are making their spouse miserable because they won't give them what they want? I mean, it's the same thing. But to this extent, and in that too, you know, he was watching all these girls walk around half-dressed. Uh-huh. You know, think about that. When you're dressing and you're putting clothes on, you can say what you want to, but, you know, folks that like this that are struggling with demons are watching that and looking at that. And, you know, bright lights attract all kinds of things. And is it worth something like this? And it's just a tragedy. I know that he went past a store, I believe it was a deli, and there was people in there shopping in the deli, and he just started firing shots into the deli. And they have a video of it as well. We'll make that all available to you to understand how tragic this is. But this one young man had been shot, and everybody started running, hiding behind these shells. But this one brave lady who was being ran over by this big man trying to get behind the shelf was squatting down with a cell phone and what looked like in one hand and trying to reach out to the man that was shot and trying to help the man that was shot. I thought, man, what a beautiful woman.
Wow.
How she was just had that, you know, hero in her, you know, that moment. And then like what Jack Hollis says, you know, heroes are not made, they just happen.
Right.
And that's a hero, somebody that would do that. Sad to say that he bled to death right there as the shots kept coming. And the store clerk or owner was going back and looking over the video. He says, I couldn't even watch the whole video. It was just so bad what took place.
Oh, wow.
And it's like, this is time for us as the church to realize we're going to have to preach the gospel. We're going to have to live in the light as Jesus is in the light. We have to walk in the light as Jesus is in the light. We're going to have to begin to leave this darkness, and we have to begin to preach the light. And the hope for mankind is Jesus Christ. It really is. Mm-hmm. And what this young man that was held captive by all this darkness, what he needed was Jesus. He needed to get saved. He needed to be delivered. He needed to be set free. And he was just overtaken by darkness. Mm-hmm. And you think, well, that's not true. So you think about Legion. I mean, this guy named Legion, when Jesus was ministering and he walked, and this particular man was so violent that he did all these violent things. They had to chain him outside the city. He was in chains outside the city, and he would cut himself and he would do bad things. And in so Jesus, when he saw Jesus, this man with all that darkness on him, who'd done all those evil things, when he saw Jesus, because you have two things going on. You have all the oppression on the man, but then you have the man inside of all that. Mm-hmm. And this man inside of all that saw Jesus and ran and fell at his feet. And in that, Jesus delivered him. It was such a huge deliverance that the city didn't know whether to accept him. And it freaked everybody out because they thought they identified this man as this evil man and there's no hope for him at all. Mm-hmm. But yet, now he's in his right mind, and that scared them because you can't believe how could somebody so evil, so bad, be in their right mind? It's because it's God. The answer is not more programs, not taking away rights, but it's for us, the church, to begin to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and realize that Jesus came to set us free. And you're looking at something that got a hold of this young man and just devoured him. But inside of that if he could have been reached, and his friends, I saw his friends being interviewed, and his friends, because he had some friends around him, he said, I kept on trying to reach out for him, but it was just real difficult because he took it so personally. Mm. He took rejection so personally. And there's nothing they could do. They were like, there's nothing I can do about it. It's almost like people want to blame your friends. Like, hey, you know, nothing you can do about that. But I think about this. I think about when you see this horrific story, this reality where people saying it's surreal. It's real. It happened, and it's happening more and more and more. That he vented his frustrations on playing virtual murder on violent video games, and he started it at a young age. And what he did on video, what he did digitally, what he did virtually, he eventually did physically. The outlawing that needs to take place in this nation, I believe, is not the Second Amendment. The outlawing needs to be murder, virtual murder.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. Why in the world would you, right after the Navy massacre that took place, he admittedly played 16 hours a day, Grand Theft Auto, mm-hmm. I guess it was, that within 48 hours, Grand Theft Auto loses the next version of it, and they make how much money?
$1 billion.
They make $1 billion in sale on murder based on this game, and nobody talks about it. Nobody says, mm-hmm. that's what you need to outlaw. Outlaw murder. Mm-hmm. Outlaw letting children murder over and over again virtually. And it's like, you're trying to do us in, aren't you? I mean, if you're going to let the bad guys continually to practice murder while you're going to take away, you know, defensive weapons from the good guy. It's like, that's not a good combo deal.
No.
That ain't a good combo deal. I don't care what menu it's on. So we, you know, our prayers go out to these family members that lost loved ones, and it challenges us as the church to say, you know, we need to do better in preaching and sharing the love of God. And how many college campuses right now? There's somebody on every campus going through these same emotions that this young man went through, and they're suffering rejection. They need somebody to speak into their life and to say, dude, what are you doing? It's not about you. Mm-hmm. Let me talk to you about Jesus, man. Let me tell you about my life. Let me tell you about this guy named Legion. Let me tell you, you can't do this. And becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ will just set you free from all that. And I'm telling you, that's going to be the answer, not just turning the campuses over to darkness, but to be able to bring the light in there. And that's what happened on our college campus. You took the Bible out of the schools, took prayer out of schools. You're taking God off the college campuses, and what's happening? You're looking at darkness coming in to our schools, darkness coming in to our campuses, and we still don't have a clue The answer is not more intellectual thought. The answer is returning back to the foundation, founding principles of our nation, and this one nation under God. I mean, we are just founded on the principles of the Bible. And maybe, dear Lord, help us bring a third great awakening, we ask, to this nation.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
If you don't have a plan to abide with the Lord, we have one for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because it'll just begin to just revitalize your prayer life. And you'll find that not only are you talking to God, but you're dialoguing with the Lord and having this documented conversation. We have a plan for you. It's at iabide.org. It's a free plan. You can request it today, and it's amazing how your life will, you'll just have peace in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing when we do what God says and operate in the context of how he says do things. It's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be. Mm-hmm. And children are abiding with the Lord. Mm-hmm. I know as adults, we should be able to do that. Speaking of trophies for humility, you know, I was so, I had a wonderful time to be able to have lunch with Pat's son, Jonathan. And he played, you know, football really well. Mm. I mean, he had to. He's you know, his dad.
Yeah. His dad.
Dear
I mean,
Lord.
No choice, Lord.
To help him always do well in sports.
It's in the genes, man.
Right. Is that what you call that?
That's what he said.
And Jonathan to talk with.
Yes.
Him.
Even his dog has a Saint shirt. So
yes, he does.
He does. Of course, the dog's like, I'm a Pittsburgh fan. Anyway, so.
Oh, whatever.
You know, Jonathan and I are having lunch, and he was telling me about his trophies. He got two medals.
His medals.
He got medals. He's a really good player in football, flag football, and he got these medals. And I said, "Whoa, what are the medals for?" And he says, "They're for humility." And I'm thinking, I'm like tilt. I'm like, okay, so. Do you get it, but you can't show the medal? I mean, how do you get a medal? How do you get a medal for humility, right?
And, right.
And Jerry and goes, my son it. Goes, Jerry goes, does it come with a blanket? And he's going, and Jonathan's going, I'm shooting for four. a word of knowledge out there for those that are handing out medals for humility. That might be counterintuitive.
Yeah.
Right. Counterintuitive. Is that something? Oh, my goodness. Today we want to be, for humility, Mrs. Jones in our church congregation. She's the most humble woman around. Thank you very much. I worked very hard for this.
And I'm going to work even harder for the next recognition.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We are talking about, in this part of the program, John has found a book talking about six things.
Yes. Eddie Bayan mm-hmm. is his name, and he's the author of this book called Six Things Churches Can Do to End Human Trafficking.
And what's human trafficking?
Human trafficking, yeah, very important, is when it's an epidemic. It's a problem that's happening all across the world, even in the United States, where women and children are being sold into slavery, and namely for sex, and this is happening everywhere, and it's horrific, and that's something that's now getting more and more attention. But you know, we don't want to stop. We want to continue to shed light on this because we want this to be over with. We want people to be, children and women, all people to be free.
Yes.
And so this author put this book together to bring awareness to the church. He is from South Korea. And he put together a list of six things, and in our discussion, we'll probably add a few more things that we can do. But one of the things he talks about is unleashing the intercessors, and that's basically beginning to start praying together, specifically targeted prayers that could put an end to human trafficking and sex slaves, which is important because anything we try to do outside of prayer
right.
and inviting God is absolutely, you know, useless. So it's the Lord is going to set people free.
In which, you know, IHOP Kansas City with Mike Bickle, and mm-hmm. they've been praying 24 hours a day yeah. in the area, and we've been praying and picking that up ourselves, I guess, for 5 years.
Yeah, as well.
And there's a lot of people that are praying. And you look what's happening, and the fact that it's a topic that as they talked about, you know, you talked about NFL and what was taking place at the Super Bowl, taking place in Costa Rica, wherever.
Brazil. For the World Cup, yeah.
Yeah, that, you know, God's answering our prayers. So that's a huge thing, beginning to pray and ask God to move, yes.
Mm-hmm. The second thing he talks about is raise awareness, which we've been doing consistently as well as others, but specifically we've been doing here on VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program, sharing with others what is happening. And some unique ministries have put some movies and videos together that helps to explain and to show, give context to what's happening. One of those is Exodus Cry, and if you go to VFNTV.com and select links on top, you'll be able to go directly to their website and actually see some of the videos and movies that have been that are showing what happens. Because you don't have context until you actually see, oh, this dot connects to this dot connects to this dot. And sad to say, it's a lot of Americans that are going overseas to purchase children.
Right.
You know, and just needs to stop. The third thing he speaks about is research and investigate tracking data. And he shares that, you know, all outreach should be supported by data, known information of what is happening. I'm amazed a lot of people talk about what they think is happening. No, we need to know what is happening, where it's happening, so that we can strategically do something about it. Another organization that's, because of that data, I believe it's Underground Railroad.
Yeah, Underground Railroad. That's exactly it.
They're actually sending former CIA, Green Beret, Navy SEALs to actually go and extract these women and children, which is beautiful.
Mm, yes.
And we saw what you know, some folks got together, and I think it was $1 million was given at one time, and they were able to rescue several children. It's like, wow, this is great.
Them on VFN TV, and we support them as well. And also links. You can go to links at VFNTV.com, and you can join. Just imagine you want to do something, because I believe what he's saying here, too, is that don't just throw your money at the idea. Throw it at some facts, invest it into get a return for it. And these guys go in and extract. They actually take the child out with them. Mm-hmm. And it was a beautiful thing. You can actually go to BFN TV, click on links, go to IR, Underground Railroad, and watch the most recent extraction that took place in Haiti in the orphanage there. That wasn't really an orphanage. There was just a front for setting up to sell children. And they went in and rescued. It was just a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Very, very good. The fourth thing he talks about is build relationships and networks. And part of building those relationships and networks is to be able to understand that hey, you know, don't try to go in this alone. We can kind of work together and understand this organization is supporting that organization. Because the folks on the opposite side of this, this is a networked industry. They're finding out that they can make more money selling people than they can in selling drugs. Mm. It's totally demonic and horrible, and this is not something that they're just trying out. This is a network of evil that's spread across.
You think about that when you sell a drug, you have to create it, you have to make it, and then you sell it, then you have to go create it again. But with a person, they sell that person over and over and over. And some of the reports are that a young girl in one day can have like 25 different men that rape her, that they sell her to every day.
Yeah.
And it's like, versus the drug, you have to actually go grow the drug and go through the process of that. And so you're talking about profitability and what they're doing. It's like, we've got to free these girls and kids and women from this.
Absolutely. The fifth thing he talks about is being a haven of restoration and healing. And, you know, that's a great, you know, thing to be, because as the church, we want to remember that as these women and children are being rescued and extracted and pulled out, and they give their lives to the Lord, this is what we're believing, right? And this is what has happened. Then we want to come around them as the church and be able to pray for them and disciple them and love them and reintroduce them to what healthy love is, healthy touch is, and bring them into the family and healed and restored.
Right.
And so that's so important, because a lot of times, you know, there's a stigma when people get damaged goods. As a church, we don't have, you know, we can't be like that. We can't have a place a stigma or a judgment on anybody. You listen, these people were, you know, victims of the circumstances, victims of what happened to them. And we need to be people of love and compassion and be able to say, hey, listen, we're going to help you. We're going to help you. And right. The sixth thing that he talks about is provide for rescue and prevention, which, we talked about, which is
the Underground Railroad and different organizations like that.
And, you know, a couple of things that not discussed here, but, I mean,
Exodus Cry, by the way, Exodus Cry does have an adoption program where they actually take in these girls and put them with a family and help them go through that process, just so you know that as well.
Yeah. Another thing is that, my goodness, if we end pornography and purchasing, you know, the filth that's on there and supporting movies and things like that, that will stop fueling those perverse desires for, you know, these men to go all over the country and in this country thinking that that's actually normal and acceptable behavior. It's not. You know, we got to come to grips with the reality of what's happening. It's an over, it's everywhere in the nation. I mean, there's a big thing that's being discussed about, you know, what occurred on a network and what I heard one of the newscasters discussing. They're saying it's everywhere. It's across the board. It's just way too much sex everywhere on television. Mm. You just can't watch anything. And it's what's happening to our society where you can't even watch a simple program on a regular network without, you know, seeing one of the Ten Commandments violated, and particularly sex.
Right.
And it's like, man, this we're reaping, you know, a harvest because of the things that we've allowed. Right. And now our daughters, now, you know, our women and even young boys are being absolutely victimized and just damaged. And as the church, this is something that we need to keep on the forefront of our hearts and in our prayers and have compassion as if it was happening to our own.
And you think about it, too, that, I mean, you get a Lot perspective, what it was like for Lot when everything around him was going one way, but yet he stayed a way that God could rescue. Yeah. He rescued. Well, he had somebody interceding and praying for him. And it was amazing that you can kind of see that kind of viewpoint today. It's like, where is the light? Where is? And somebody says this, it's like, I'm not paying anybody any money for anything. And I look at the wrong things for free. And it's like, you have to understand that those ads on that page, if there's an ad on the page, this is how Google makes all their money, is off you viewing that page. So if you view that page that you say you didn't pay for, that Google gets paid money for that view of that ad. Mm-hmm. And so it seems to be free for you, but you're just brought into this equation. And so money changes hands when you look at that. Mm-hmm. And it's anything else too. It could be a news program or whatever else, but understand that ad's on there and people get paid by views, paid by clicks. Mm-hmm. And so if all you do is just pull a page up and look at it and didn't click on any ads, they still get paid. It's called pay per view. You get paid for the viewing the ad. This is the program. Mm-hmm. But if you click on it, they get paid more money. Mm-hmm. And so you say, well, I'm not paying anybody for anything. Somebody paid for you to be able to do that.
That's right.
Whoever that advertiser was paid for you to be able to do that, which means puts money in the hands of these guys who are doing these terrible things out there to people. And dear Lord, we just ask you that you would end this human trafficking in the earth and heal our young people, heal our women. And thank you for Exodus Cry, Underground Railroad, and all the ministries that are reaching out for these young people to free them.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them at VFNTV.com. Visit our sponsors today. We have all their contact information, their phone numbers, their web addresses. They're ready to hear from you. Visit our sponsors and partners at VFNTV.com. Become a partner today. It's you partnering with us, giving and sowing financially that makes this all possible. VFNTV.com.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.